Welcome to the Buckhead Church Podcast. If you want to learn how you can be more engaged with our church, check us out online at buckheadchurch.org, or you can connect with us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. I hope the following message inspires you to take the next step forward in your faith journey. Check it out.
Bob, I know you're not one for titles, but what do you tell people that you do?
Yeah, I would say I'm an enabler in as so many different respects, both good and bad. On the front side of that wave, I just want people to start looking towards the horizon. As a flaming seven on the Enneagram, some of us, like me, are tempted to skip over everything between me and the horizon. And this idea, I think it was best said in Finding Nemo, like through, not over. That what I want to do is go through things with people, but I want to point towards the horizon. I know in these really difficult times that people are very much in the middle of things. But I went 60 years without saying the word virus once, and I'm fine just going 60 minutes without saying it once.
Yeah, it is.
So that idea of through, not that over, one of the things that we get to do is to control some of our language, some of our words. That's out of like James 5, to watch what our tongues say. So this idea of enabling people, I want to point towards this vision of not only what the future would look like, but to remind people where we came from, like that 8-year-old Bobby Goff. 8-year-old Clay, tell me about him. What was 8-year-old Clay like?
8-year-old me was pretty naive, innocent, definitely wanting to get outside and hit a ball or swing at a ball. Probably wanted to dress up in some silly costume. There's a bit of an, I enjoy laughing, enjoy having a good time. And like in school when you had those excuses to dress up, you know, like tacky day, stuff like that.
Yes. So some of the things that I think those are where we can, during this time that we can have either dwindle the hours away with busyness, or we can go a mile deep, this idea of enabling. I just want people to feel the permission to go a little deeper. And what I would do is to say, who were you when you were 8? Tell me about that person and what were they thinking about? What were they hoping for? You know that Miles Adcox, a friend of ours, and I bought an old Young Life camp and started fixing it up. And it's been so funny because, you know, what a great business idea. Like, buy a place where people gather at a time where people can't gather.
It's awesome. Surely we're going to gather again. Surely.
Yes. Yeah, but one of the things, it's kind of neat. We figured out to the acre, it's the same size as Disneyland. Yeah, wow. I don't have any Matterhorn and no rides. But one of the things that we do have is stalls and barns and places for horses. And so I've got a picture on my wall of a horse with freckles on it. I've actually named it Freckles. I actually have a saddle. I gave you a little tour of my office before we jumped on. I've got a saddle, but I've got no horse. And one of the things that struck me is kind of funny about that is that we have this picture of this idea, the way that our life would turn out. I've got a horse named Freckles. And it's easier to have a picture of the horse than to actually have the horse.
Less expensive, too. We have a picture
about what our faith looks like. And it's easier to have a that faith than to actually have that faith. And so what I'm trying to do is use this time really well. I don't want to be the guy that's all saddle, no horse. I don't want to have all the doctrine right, but to not have a theology that reaches out towards people, that would just be all saddle, no horse. what I want to do is to sync up what I had in mind that my faith would look like, the picture on the wall, and to actually sync it up with what is actually going on in my life. And that's where faith has come. Hebrews 11:1, it's confidence in what we're hoping for and assurance of what we haven't seen yet. And I've never even been on a horse before. I wouldn't know what end to put the straw in. But I've got an idea about what that's going to happen. I'm not going to go the easy route and tell everybody I'm a cowboy because I got a saddle and I got a picture of a horse. What I want to actually do is to actually release this in big and small ways into the world during a time when, like, I get, this has been my dream for as long as you and I have been talking. What have I been telling you? I just want to spend some time at home. I've been to 100 cities every year for the last 8 years. And I feel like heaven just leaned over the rails and said, what's your second wish?
What's next?
Yeah. So,
hey, so Bob, seriously, are you really, are you enjoying this? I mean, has this been good for you?
Oh, it's been, you know, actually to do things that are a little bit tedious with tremendous joy. That has been how I've been very intentionally using this time. I had there was a story in a little kid's book that I told about a guy when I was a little short on money to get a candy bar. He took one of my coins and he shined it up and he gave me my penny back and he said, shiny pennies are worth two. And I thought that was just like, so I went through, you know, so much of my life thinking that shiny pennies were actually worth two because a guy that I trusted told me they were. And so I had this great idea, invited all these young kids around the world to have their parents send me an email and I would write them a letter by hand and tape a shiny penny to that letter and mail it back to them. Oh, Clay, I had no idea how many letters. I've been writing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of letters and taping little shiny pennies. I'm telling you, it has been the best thing ever. I'm learning to delight in these really small things, knowing just how much it might matter to Sally. And so somebody listening into our conversation, forget rebuilding the Aswan Dam or doing something huge somewhere far away. What if you were to give somebody next door a shiny penny? You can give them a bottle of Clorox too if you want, but to just give somebody something small and trusting that what Jesus Christ said is that he would turn small things into big things in people's lives. He'd turn them into big things in your life and in my life. And we wouldn't just have pictures of horses named Freckles. Actually, we would just actually have the horse and do the work.
For those of you that don't know about that kid's book, Bob Ark, we're reading that book every day during this. That's one of the, my wife picked it up a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, and we read it this morning. This morning we read the story of the popcorn that you used. You told time with your kids through how long it takes to pop a bag of popcorn. So I told my kids this morning, I said, hey, the guy that wrote this book, I'm actually talking with him this afternoon. And my kids said, this was their first response, can you ask him if all those stories are real?
Yeah.
How about that?
I actually had to tone down some of the stories to like kind of filter out all the misdemeanors that happened along the way. Yeah. One of the things that I want us to do is to spend this time dwelling where we are. I know scripture talks a lot about dwelling. And so I've ended up being on the move for the last couple decades. And so I'm actually want to be dwelling here and not just seeing this place as like somehow I'm imprisoned. I teach a class at San Quentin Penitentiary. And so I'm getting all of these calls from my students, average sentence, 50 to 100 years. And so they've been calling and their concern is how I'm doing because they're in a really safe place, their dwelling, because like nobody, they don't get any visitors, so they can't catch anything. They don't want to hang out with the guards, and the guards don't want to hang out with them. So they're in great shape. And it's been so interesting. I think they've experienced a freedom that many of us haven't. Just because they're dwelling, not just in their circumstance right there, they've been thinking about my circumstance. And so that idea in Philippians 2:20 about Paul talking about Timothy taking a genuine interest in other people's well-being. Well, I'm telling you, church, that's where it gets real. Let your theology inform your face. Let your face inform your actions. Let your actions inform people about who Jesus Christ is.
I love it. And there's probably no bigger time for the church to do that. So what would you say, Bob, to somebody who, I love the little line, learning to find joy in the tedious things, learning to dwell right where we are, to be right where we are right now. It's really hard to do that because I think everybody's wondering, well, when is this going to be over and what is life going to be like on the other side? But learning to find the joy, find the what to be grateful for right here. What would you say to somebody who our church has a lot of single adults, a lot of single parents who are sitting at home today, worried about their job, worried about their income, but also just feeling lonely. What's your encouragement for them?
Well, there's one thing to say, don't feel that. And that's never worked for me. Has that worked for you? Like when somebody got real with how you're really feeling. And then somebody said they almost discounted. They thought they were doing good, but they actually were just skipping over that. So I want to say to you, if you're listening to this and you're feeling isolated and lonely, I'm not going to say don't feel that. I'm just going to say do something about that. Mm. Here's my cell phone number, 619-985-4747. I'm not looking for new best friends to talk to. I just don't want you to feel lonely. And if you need to call me, then you just call me because we're in this together. The whole idea that we can feel isolated, but we can feel together in this. And that's John 17, that idea that we would be one, we can be in different places experiencing different things, and we can still feel one. So if you could feel the oneness of the pastoral staff at Buckhead that is reaching out to you, that's why they're doing this. If you could feel one with a larger family of friends, I'm one of them, to say, we're in this together. So I just want people to dwell not in the past or in the difficulties that they're facing, but to dwell in Christ. And the way that I'm trying to dwell in Christ is to see a picture of a horse that I named Freckles and to say, you know what? It's easier to have the picture than it is to have the horse. It's easier to have a photograph of what you want everybody to know your faith is about than it is to actually tend to that faith. And I'm saying, man, let's tend to it. Let's use this time to actually ask questions like, what are the rules that you made for yourself? What rules did you make about vulnerability and how vulnerable you could be to one another? What if we said, we're just going to have one phone call a day with people and have 3 minutes of vulnerability together? And the only rules are this: don't you try to fix me. I'm just going to say the way it is. I'm going to talk about what it actually is, not the picture of Freckles. Talk to you about what it really is. And then exchange that. Say, let's just do 3 minutes of vulnerability. I'm telling you, you do that for a month, for the next 4 weeks, you will develop some friendships you have never had. And I promise you this, you will not feel lonely and isolated.
I love that. The challenge right now in this season too, Bob, I mean, I've seen all the news reports on it, but a lot of people, because they're staying at home, are there, you know, anybody who's been in recovery is feeling more temptation than ever before. People who have struggled in the past with mental health, who hasn't struggled with mental health, but obviously there's varying degrees of that. But so many of those friends and family members of mine are experiencing an even heightened sense of that right now. So I think that vulnerability might be more important in this season than ever before because the temptations are greater because of the isolation. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think you nailed it. And it will bring out the best and the worst in you. And so to listen to your better angels, that's a cute thing to say, make it look great on a Hallmark card. But to say instead, to say, let me just call these things out. If you're feeling an emotion, anger, frustration, fear, loneliness, to go down and just write that down, to say, this is how I'm actually, to put a finer point on it, to have, instead of a general feeling of discontent or anxiety, to say, let's call out what that is. Because you can't fix it if you don't identify what it is. So that's let's just identify what it is me being lonely. And to say, well, why are you lonely? And say, like, well, so what I get my validation from is making people smile and laugh and all that. And that's why I like to be with people, because I get my validation from that. And say, like, oh, wow, I wonder why that is. And to say, well, yeah, well, because when I was little Bobby Goff, when I was 8, this is how little Bobby Goff interacted with the world and how he perceived the world interacting with me. I'm not saying find all of your setbacks and camp out there, because a setback ain't a campsite. But understand where these things are coming from. And then as soon as you can identify that, to say, okay, so I'm a new creation. What are we going to do from now? We have this thing. I don't know if it's that way in Atlanta, but if you are going to remodel a house, and you take down all of the boards in the house, then you have to, there's all new rules that apply. So what people do is they leave 1 2x4 standing. So that you can have a 6,000 square foot house, they leave 1 2x4 and they say, it's just a remodel. That's and right. So they comply with all the old rules, not the new rules. And I'm saying during this period of time where we get to reflect, take down the last 2x4 to say all new rules. New creation, new Bob, new rules. And I would say, let's understand what some of the old rules you made for yourself were, how deep you could go in relationships, how vulnerable you could be. I'd say, like, you're 1 2x4 away from a whole set of new rules. You just need to find the guts and the grit to tear it down. And I'm telling you, I'll help you. You've got a pastoral staff here. They could be running small countries. They are doing this because they want to help you take down the last 2x4 that's getting in between you and this newfound release in Jesus. Because he's saying new creation, new rules. And I just want to give you the guts and the grit to take down the last 2x4 that you've been kind of hiding from. And boy, park everybody at home for a month. That's a great time not to do a remodel, to do a tear down.
Love it. Bob, last thing that I want to ask you about, you gave your phone number out earlier, which you have done before. You had it published and gave it out. You decided at some point in your life to be really available to people. It's one of the things I have learned from you most, which I feel like you model this so well for a generation of humans, society of humans, that we love being busy. We do not love being available. What help us understand that? Why is being available so it is following Jesus, being available? Help us understand why that is.
Yeah, it's not for everybody. If you ask Sweet Maria Goff, availability is not going to be the highest thing on her list. She has a clear idea of who she is and what she's about, and that would not blow her hair back. But for me, I was wired differently. And so I would say, live into the person that God wired you to be. And so for me, availability is very life-giving, because my hope is that I could be part of enabling somebody to see something they couldn't see before. I'm not trying to fix anybody. I just want to understand it. So I would say, you bring to Jesus what you've got. And so if God wired you from the factory towards this, I would say be bold and just be available. Make the phone call. If this is not who you are, for Pete's sakes, don't do this. But I would find another way to express who God is in you. I'm just saying, let's just not look at the picture on the wall about what our faith would be, but let's actually just release that in ways that are consistent with your own, you know, physical and mental well-being. But I would say be a little bit bolder. What if you could just do a quarter inch more than you've done? Not because Jesus needs your help, because he doesn't. I checked in with him 5 minutes before we got on the line. He doesn't need your help.
He said he's good.
What he does, he wants your heart. And you say, like, okay, so what would be, you know, that when we bought this camp, I bought that also the video, we bought a zoo. Have you seen that, Craig?
Oh, love it. Love it. Love it.
Oh, I love that. Clay, my favorite scene in the whole movie is this.
I think I know what you're going to say.
And says, all it's going to take is 20 seconds of insane courage. Just absolutely insane courage. And so I would say, as we're kind of wrapping this up, maybe what's 20 seconds of insane courage for you look like today? Maybe it's making the call. Maybe it's squaring up with somebody you've been estranged with. It might be a text message to say, you know, we're good. But I would say that kind of insane courage, which is be a reflection, not of just this picture on the wall about what you think your faith is like, but actually how you're releasing your faith into the world. And those kind of small actions will inform your theology, and your theology will inform your faith, and your faith will inform your face. And you'll find, even in a time where you have to do some tedious stuff or you feel a little, you know, a little boxed in, that you go like, wow, I'm kind of like that guy in San Quentin. Right now, I'm the freest person around because I got outside myself and I took a genuine interest in the people around me.
And that faith that's on the wall will start looking like that faith that's in real life. How about that?
I'm telling you, someday you're going to come out here. We're going to put a saddle on a horse and you're not going to know what the name of that horse is. It'll be Freckles.
Care if it's, that's, you know, right.
Yeah, that's it.
Hey, Bob, thank you so much. Thanks for being, I feel like you are a, I don't know, in a lot of ways, you are a surrogate pastor to so many people that need a guide, somebody to help them find direction. And you've been that for me in a lot of different places and times in life. And you've been that to a lot of people in our church. And I just, on behalf of them, please keep it up. We need you.
Oh, man, I receive that. And that is something beautiful to move towards. And I hope to aspire to be that guy. And all together, we make one really well-adjusted person.
Yeah, that's right.
Body of Christ. So we can all be in it and just bring all the game you've got. And you do not need to hide. If you're listening to this, do not hide. 1 2x4. That's all we need to remove. New rules. And grace says that you're in. Whether you're close to Jesus or feel a mile apart, grace just draws a circle around you where you are right now.
You're in. I love it. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, buddy. Talk to you soon. Love to the family. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Buckhead Church Podcast. If you'd like more content, you can always check out our services live or on demand at buckheadchurch.org. And if you want to experience community anytime, anywhere, go to buckheadchurch.org/groups.